on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, it is time for another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, and I am joined, as always, by my twin brother, Andrew Robinson. Man, it's a great day here. Great week over here. I'm out down here in Baltimore, and Drew's obviously over there in Portugal. Man, Drew, how you doing, bro?
Doing good, man. You know, got another game tomorrow out here, you know, on Friday. So just looking forward to that. Another opportunity to play, man. You know, getting closer and closer to Christmas. So, you know, feeling the holiday spirit a little bit. You know, feeling good because we, as you know, just announced our partnership with Mid-Major Place for the, you know, All Facts Media merchandise, hoodies, tees, notebooks, whatever you need. We got it. So, you know, if y'all looking for a gift for a special somebody, you know, your little sneaky link, boo thing, head over to Mid-Major Place. Head over to All Facts Media website and cop some gear, man. But, you know, other than that, man, feeling good, man. You know, how about yourself?
Doing good, man. Kick a plane. Got practice tonight. Got a little game Saturday up in Pennsylvania. Then we're going to Canada. I'm going to get to be like you and travel, you know what I'm saying, playing basketball, you know, so I can go ahead and get out of the country a little bit, hopefully, God willing, if COVID doesn't get in the way of that. You know what I'm saying? So looking forward to that. Yeah, man, happy to be on here talking some hoops.
That'd be dope, man. First time in Canada, eh?
First time in Canada, eh? I'm going to call out my guy Ship a little bit. Some of the OQU guys up in Canada, man. See how those guys are doing, man. But without further ado, man, we'll get right into it, man. We had a jam-packed weekend of college hoops, man. Obviously, we released our Week 6 mid-major rankings. We're going to dive into those. Also had a bunch of mid-major teams. They got some great wins over the weekend, so we're definitely going to run through a few of those wins as well, man. But before we get into all of that, man, you know I couldn't let you get off the hook, man. Want to remind you guys to make sure you guys are streaming our episodes, man. Make sure you guys are giving us a like, a retweet on Twitter, a share on Instagram. You see our content, man. Give us a rating on Spotify, on Apple, and Google Podcasts, man. 5 stars only, please. Leave us a comment. Please, you know, tell a friend about the Auto Bid, man. Every share, every rating, it goes a long way, man, in terms of helping us to get this podcast out to the right people, man. So want to definitely remind you guys, as always, do that. Like my man Drew said, come shop with us. He's saying, get your little boot thing, some All Facts gear, man, a nice little hoodie. We got flavors, man. We got different colors, T-shirts, hoodies, notebooks. You know what I'm saying? You name it, we got it all on Mid-Major Place. So you guys are tapping into that as well. And last but not least, make sure you guys are listening to my guy Pull Up Tay's music. That was him on the intro. That'll be him on the outro. His new project, Why Stop Now, is out on all platforms. So make sure you guys are tapping into my guy's music, man. One of the hottest up-and-coming rappers out of the DMV, man. But like I said, man, there was a bunch of big wins over the weekend, man. So I'm going to let my guy Drew toss a few doors your way.
Yeah, man, definitely was a great weekend for the mid-majors. A lot of teams getting some big-time wins. But I start with the biggest one, in my opinion. That was Colorado State with the victory over Mississippi State. You know, that win eventually catapulted them into the top 25. It's honestly a travesty that they haven't been ranked, you know. But I think, the AP voters wanted to see a little more. You know, they got the win over Mississippi State in a game, honestly, where Mississippi State controlled for majority of that game. I had the opportunity to watch that game, and I kept saying to myself in that second half, like, all right, man, Mississippi State's going to put them away here. They're going to put them away here. And they would miss a shot. They would turn the ball over, and Colorado State just kept hanging around, man. And they showed the chops of a veteran team. You know, they made plays down the stretch and ended up getting that win. And, you know, speaking of a veteran team, man, with a stat actually came across that game that day that I want to share, man. And just about the amount of production that Colorado State is returning for last year's team. They returned 96% of their scoring from last year, 97% of their rebounding from last year, 99% of their blocks from last year, and 93% of their minutes from last year's team. Honestly, the team who should have been an NCAA tournament team, you know, they got robbed, you know, on the bubble last year, ended up making a run in the NIT. But, you know, this is a very poised team. I'm listening to, you know, Archie Miller and Sean Miller on the field 68, that they, you know, give this team a ton of props, man, and the job that they've done this year. And they're a dangerous team, man. So, you know, shout out to those guys for getting that win over Mississippi State over the weekend. They're going to be a team to watch going forward. Also, we had Murray State get a big-time win over Memphis, 74-72, which honestly looks a lot better today because, you know, originally Memphis was looking pretty bad, but obviously they were able to get a big-time win over Alabama, which makes, you know, this victory that much sweeter for Murray State. Belmont got a win over UT Chattanooga, and, you know, what I think is kind of the battle of two mid-major heavyweights over this past week. They got a win 76-68. Monmouth got a win over Pitt. And what I like to call, you know, the All Facts Media Special, because, you know, if you guys see, you know, I got to, you know, tip my hat a little bit to myself. You know, I had a sniper pick, you know. I predicted Monmouth was going to beat Pitt in this game. I also predicted that George Pappas was going to go off a calm 17, you know, which he did. So, you know, tip my hat to myself, you know, for that pick right there. They're rolling right now. Also got a win over Yale on a head coach King Rice's birthday, so I'm sure he's happy about that. South Dakota State got a win over Washington State at the buzzer, 77-74, and definitely the nastiest game winner I think I've ever seen in college basketball. You know, made a guy touch earth, drills the three, and then walks it off. You know, they're definitely a craziest thing I saw nominee. So shout out to South Dakota State for getting that big time win over Washington State team, who a lot of people think is going to contend in the Pac-12 this year. So that's definitely not a win to just sneeze over. Louis Chicago gets a win over Vanderbilt, 69-58. Not too much of a surprise there. They were the better team. UC Davis gets a win over a struggling Oregon State team who's not looked good at all this year. Albany gets a win over BC, 61-57. Shout out to the America East. Western Kentucky was able to get a win over Ole Miss, a very convincing win at that, 71-48, which was, you know, really good to see. Obviously, that Western Kentucky team is a team that, you know, we had a top 15, I believe, mid-major team coming into the year with the influx of talent that Rick Stansbury was able to bring in over there. So that was definitely a big win for them. Dayton was able to get a win over Virginia Tech by 5. St. Louis also was able to get a win over BC, so two quality wins there for the A-10. Over the ACC. And rounding it out, New Mexico State got a win over the Loyola Marymount, 63-58, and another one of those mid-major games between two, you know, teams that are going to be battling for NCAA tournament berths come March. So I know there was a lot, man, a lot of mid-major action, man, a lot of big-time games, but, you know, nonetheless, man, a lot of teams got some quality wins that are going to, I think, resonate big-time, you know, come March.
Yeah, man, a few things I want to point out. I mean, first of all, you mentioned that game winner in South Dakota State, man. My guy, Baylor Shireman, that dude is a smooth killer over there at South Dakota State, man. Make sure you guys are keeping an eye on him, because if that team comes out of the Summit League, man, they're gonna be a team that is gonna, you know, is gonna be difficult out in the NCAA tournament, man. This guy, last year he had a little bit better year. He had about 15-9-4. This year he's at about 14-9-4. But, you know, very efficient. He's shooting 47% from the floor, 44% from three. South Dakota State ended up losing to Missouri State after that, went over Washington State, man. So definitely they're on the ropes a little bit here after losing to Idaho and then losing to Missouri State. But they did get a big win over Washington State, man. But this is a very good basketball team, and they're going to be there come March. So definitely want to keep an eye on them, man. But the two biggest results that I want to talk about, you mentioned the Colorado State or Mississippi State game, man. And I think, you know, we talked about it a lot last week, man, but I want to point out a stat, man. This guy, Isaiah Stevens, this year is the ultimate floor general, ultimate point guard, man. I mean, this guy this season, man, has 73 assists and just 15 turnovers this year for the season, man. I mean, averaging 7 assists a game to 1.5 turnovers, man. I mean, that dude, anytime you're having an assist-turnover ratio of dang near 7-1, I mean, that's absolutely unheard of, man. And he's the reason why that team – one of the many reasons, but obviously Nico Medved is an awesome coach. David Roddy is an awesome player, man. But when you have a point guard that can go out there, control the tempo of the basketball game, you mentioned, you know, it looked like Mississippi State was gonna put him away, man. But, you know, Stevens just controlled the tempo of that game, man. I think he's a guy that, you know, is gonna have to be in the conversation, man, for that Bob Cousy Award, man. And a guy that's gonna have to be, gonna start putting his name in them convos. We talk about some of the best guards in the country, man, because he's the guy that's, you know, the ultimate floor general, man. And the other game you mentioned that I think was probably most surprising result was Chattanooga and Belmont. I won't say it was surprising, but Belmont's a really good team. But, I mean, when you look at Belmont, man, we know this team is a great offensive team, man, with the guards that they have. Nick Mazinski, obviously, is a great, you know, big guy down low. Casey Alexander is an outstanding coach for them, man. But, you know, they you know, versus Chattanooga, they shot 60% from the floor. You know, they make 12 threes, you know, shoot 8 for 20 from the three-point line, 40% for the game. 60% from the floor for the game, and they were able to also step up on defense, man. And you know they were able to help David John Baptiste, Chattanooga probably the second best player behind Malachi Smith, to 3 points, 1 of 8 shooting from the floor, and 0 for 6 shooting from the 3-point line, man. So we know the offensive talent that this Belmont team has, man. But you can hold a Chattanooga team to 68 points, hold David John Baptiste to 1 of 8 shooting night, man. I mean, that just speaks to you know how well-rounded this Belmont team is, man. They have the guard play. They have a dominant big guy down low. They can make shots, and now they're starting to show that they can defend, man. So they're going to be a player, man, in the Ohio Valley. They're going to be a player come NCAA tournament time. And, you know, as it normally is in the OVC, man, it's going to be a battle between them and Murray State, man. And I can't wait to see how that league ends up shaking out.
Now for sure, man. I mean, I think you hit it right on the head as far as, you know, Belmont. You know, obviously, I think – one of the things that I think people forget, man, or maybe not forget, but I mean, Belmont obviously has been up and down all year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people had them at the beginning of the year. We had them in the top five, you know, of our mid-major poll. A lot of people had them as, you know, arguably the best mid-major. You know, people, I know they actually received some votes in the top 25 early on. Obviously, they took some losses and took some lumps, you know, but I mean, they seem like they're catching their stride, you know, right at the right time, man. I think that this is a Belmont team that is old, you know, they have experience, and they're absolutely going to be there, you know, come NCAA tournament time, man. I think that, you know, this is a team that, you know, granted, like I said, they did take some early losses that were kind of questionable, but, you know, I think that if this team can kind of – I think obviously them and Murray State, I know we talk about the OVC on time, Belmont, Murray State, but, I mean, I think this year, you know, more than ever, man. I think, obviously, we just mentioned Murray State got that big time win over Memphis, man. But, I mean, watch out for Belmont. You know, they're definitely going to be a team that I think is going to get better as the season goes along. We talked about Colorado State being a team that returns so much of their scoring. You know, Belmont is the same way. You know, they're returning essentially their whole team, you know, from last year. And I think that this is a team that's only going to get better, you know, as the year goes on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big part of the retention, man. I mean, you return, you know, Ben Shepherd, Will Richard, Grayson Murphy, man. A guy in Grayson Murphy, he's got averaging 6 rebounds, basically 5.5 assists per game for them, man. I think he's a guy, you know, that kind of gets overlooked just because of, you know, the other guys that are on the team that might score a little more, you know, that might, you know, get more attention, you know, like Mazinski, like Ben Shepherd, man. But this guy is extremely important to that team. And you're talking about just the turnover ratio. He's at about 5.5 assists, 2 turnovers, man. So, you know, we're talking about Isaiah Stevens' numbers here, 7-1. But, you know, anything that's north of 2-1 is good production for them, man. And like you said, man, this is an old team, and they retain the majority of their production from last season, man. So they're without a doubt going to be there at the end of the year, man. And Murray State is going to have something to say about that as well. We can talk a little bit about them later. They got a big-time matchup this weekend, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how the OVC shakes out. And now I think we're in a position where we could, you know, kind of talk about that two-bid OVC again. I mean, Belmont sitting here at 9-1. I mean, excuse me, Murray State is coming in right now at 9-1. Belmont is 9-3, but they've won now 4 games in a row, 5 of their last 6 games. Obviously, after, you know, going down to Orlando, they you know, kind of, you know, took a little beating there. They lost to LSU by 30. But ever since then, man, I mean, they beat a good Drake team, beat a very good Iona team, lost to Dayton, but then they were able to win their next 4 games. And so they've now won 6 of their last 7 games, man. They're definitely trending in the right direction, man. Anytime you can, you know, be turning in the right direction, come conference play, man, it's gonna bode well, man. So definitely looking forward to seeing how that ends up shaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that 30-point loss to LSU was like a wake-up call for them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that they obviously went into that game expecting to win. But I think, you know, honestly, that Orlando tournament was a turning point for them, man. And they could all go to the championship game, you know, against Dayton and lose by 2. You know, I mean, they're really, you know, a possession away, you know, from being on a 7-game win streak here. You know, so, I mean, literally just a 1 or 2 shots, you know, from being on a 7-game win streak here. I think that Orlando tournament down there really was the turning point for this Belmont team. I think that we're really going to see them rip off some games now. I mean, they got I mean, I don't really see too many games that I think that they should really lose before OVC play, you know, and they're going to see Murray State on the 15th of January. But, I mean, I think that this is a team that could rip off 9-10 games in a row, you know, and really start to get hot at the right time, man. So, yeah, man, I'm definitely drinking the Belmont Kool-Aid right now, for sure.
Not for sure, man. I mean, this Belmont team is definitely a team that has some spurred ability, man. I mean, last year we saw them run off. I think it was something crazy, like 17 straight wins or something like that, man. I mean, they started off – I won't say started off slow, but they you know, might have lost a game or two. Then they ran off like 17 straight. So this team definitely has spurred ability, man. I would not be surprised if they got on a similar run like that this season.
For sure, man. And now I'm definitely going to be looking out for this Belmont team, man. But, you know, switch gears a little bit, man. As we always do, man, you know, we had our week 6 mid-major rankings, you know what I'm saying? And for those who did not catch it on Twitter, we'll read it off for you guys. We have number one mid-major team in the country, Colorado State, AP Top 25 team, no surprise here. Number two, we have San Francisco, who is still undefeated, you know, sitting at the number two spot. Lower Chicago at 3, St. Mary's at 4. St. Bonaventure took a tough loss to UConn, but they're still sitting here at number 5. Iona Surgeon, they still only have 2 losses on the year. News just broke that they will not be playing Seton Hall at the Garden, after Seton Hall is having some COVID issues right now. But they're sitting at number 6. We got Murray State at number 7 after that big win over Memphis. BYU at 8. San Diego State at 9. Utah State 10. UAB 11. Ohio 12. Chattanooga 13. Belmont Bruins 14, New Mexico State 15, JMU 16, Monmouth 17, Wyoming 18. Davidson is making the first entrance into the top 25 at number 19 after winning 6 games in a row out of the A-10. UC Irvine is sitting at 20. Weber State, after dropping their first game of the season, is at number 21. Buffalo is at number 22. South Dakota State, 23. Louisiana Tech, number 24, and Middle Tennessee State at number 25, rounding it out for Conference USA. So, Ace, man, what are your thoughts on this week's rankings?
Yeah, man, I mean, I think, you know, one team that we, you know, obviously started off the season very high on, and we're still high on them. They're number 3 in our poll, Loyola Chicago. We mentioned earlier they got a win over Vanderbilt, which was a great win for them, man. This is another team. You mentioned Belmont kind of clicking at the right time. Loyola Chicago is another team that's definitely clicking at the right time, man. After those 2 tough losses in Atlantis to Auburn and Michigan State, they've now ran off about 5 straight victories, man. They beat Arizona State, obviously, in that consolation game in Atlantis, man. Then they beat Indiana State, DePaul. They played 9-D1 in Roosevelt, and then they beat Vanderbilt, obviously, on Friday, man. They're kind of playing some great basketball right now, man. The thing that I think I'm most impressed by is that, you know, this culture that Porter Moser kind of left there, man, is still going strong under Drew Valentine, man. I mean, this is a team last year that was very stingy defensively, and they are just as stingy this year, man. I mean, they held Vanderbilt to 58 points, 35% shooting from the floor, and 3-for-19 shooting from the three-point line, man. Anytime you can, you know, guard the way that they do, man. I mean, defense travels, man. We know that in college basketball, man. Your defense is something that's going to travel. We've seen what Baylor's been doing defensive end in that absolute shellacking of Villanova over the weekend, man, holding them to 36 points. And, you know, teams that are able to get stops like that, man, on a consistent basis, man, are you know, going to be extremely dangerous, man. I mean, this team isn't even a team that has any super explosive scores. Their leading scorer is Lucas Williamson. Shout out to Lucas Williamson, who recently scored his 1,000th point in college, man. So definitely want to give a shout out to him, man. This guy who's on the Final Four team is a 4-year guy with Chicago, man. And he's, you know, now, you know, in more of a prominent role, obviously, with big fella. What's my big fella's name? Drew, I'm blanking right now.
Crutway,
man. With Crutway heading up out of here, he's now more of a featured role. Man. He's only averaging 11.5 points a game. And him and Ryan Swagger are leading his team. Both of the guys are averaging 11.5 essentially points per game, man. So this isn't a super explosive offensive team, man. But they have balance. I mean, they've got 7 guys that are averaging between 7 and 11 points. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, 8 that are averaging between 5 and 11. If you add Tate Hall, who's averaging basically 5.5 rebounds and 2 assists per game for them, man. I mean, this team is a team that's incredibly balanced. 8 guys that are playing at least 20 minutes a game. Only 1 guy that's playing 30, that's Braden Norris. Everybody else is in between, you know, that 16 minutes to 28 minute range. So, This team is an incredibly balanced, man, they defend. And they're going to be a team, man, that if they keep winning, they might find themselves back in the AP top 25. And they're definitely going to be a team that's going to have potential to do some things, you know, come March again.
Yep. Yeah, man, definitely shout out to Chicago, man. They've done a great job thus far. For me, it's Davidson, man. And I think that, you know, I'm going to focus on them because, one, you know, they're playing great as of late. Like I mentioned, they're on a six-game win streak. But, I mean, they're 7-2 on the year on a six-game win streak. And the only two losses are to undefeated San Francisco and New Mexico State, who've been a top 25 team in our mid-major poll the entire season. So, I mean, they don't have any bad losses. You know, they beat East Carolina. You know, they beat UPenn. They beat Charlotte. I mean, but they're beating teams who they're supposed to beat. And I think that obviously much has been said, you know, about St. Bonaventure obviously in the A-10, and you know, oh, this is a one bid league and this and that. And I think the A-10 desperately needs another team to kind of rise and, you know, be into that category. You know, we mentioned St. Louis was able to get a win over BC, and a lot of people thought that they had potential to be kind of a maybe an at-large team, dating with a team who a lot of people were high on. Obviously, they went down to Orlando and won the Disney Invitational. And obviously, you know, beat Virginia Tech this past week. But they've been up and down all year, obviously, as we've talked about at length on this podcast. But, you know, for Davidson to be trending in the right direction, you know, they've won six in a row. They're going to see Radford this Saturday. And then they have a big-time matchup against Loyola Chicago. And, you know, obviously, I think that's a perfect segue. Ace just talked about Loyola Chicago. So, I mean, this is going to be a huge test for Davidson team. Two teams who run that Princeton offense. I can remember we played both of these teams 2019-20 year when we were at Coppin. They both run that same, you know, back cut, you know, Princeton-style offense, man, with speed. So that's going to be a great, great game to watch on Wednesday, man. So I think that, you know, obviously Davidson, that's going to be a big test, you know, for those guys. But I'm definitely happy to see, you know, the A-10 have another team that's kind of trending in the right direction. Maybe they can challenge St. Bonaventure in the A-10, but I think that's just huge, huge for the conference.
Yeah, man, I think Davidson's definitely playing well, man. If you're the A-10, you better hope that Davidson can, you know, keep this hot streak going. And, you know, hopefully, I think the A-10 hoping that they can upset St. Bonaventure in the A-10 tournament, because I think St. Bonaventure, most teams would probably, you know, give them an at-large bid if they were to get it. You know, they have two losses. One of them, one of them was to UConn without Kyle Lofton, and the other one, I believe, was early in the year, Northern Iowa. And obviously, Northern Iowa is a team that's been slumping lately. But, you know, St. Bonaventure is a team that I think is going to be able to get an at-large bid if they don't win the A-10. So you're hoping that Davidson can kind of, you know, get hot, stay hot, and hopefully, you know, win the A-10, because I don't think that this is a team that has at-large potential at this point in time, man. So I think they're also a great start, man. Hyung-Jun Lee is having an amazing year. I mean, he's averaging 19.7 rebounds and 2 assists per game. He's dang near 50-40-90 right now, shooting 50% from the floor, 41% from 3, and 86% from the foul line. Also, Foster Lawyer, the Michigan State transfer man, is having a great year for them. He's at almost 15 points a game. He's dang near 54-92, but he's shooting 56% from 3-point line, 45 from the floor, and 84 from the free throw line, man. Also, I see Luka Brinkovich having a great year for them at about 12-7. So they're definitely a good team. I mean, you know, they're extremely well coached with Bob McKillop, man. I think if they can beat Loyola Chicago, that'll be a win that can kind of put them back on that map. And we can really start kind of having conversations about Davidson. But I still think it's a one bid A-10. I still think that St. Bonaventure is going to be the team that is the only team that has a chance at winning, at getting an at-large bid. And I don't expect Davidson to beat Loyola Chicago. But even if they did, I don't know if they have enough for an at-large, because they don't really have too many quality wins. They don't have any really good wins. So
no, for sure.
They're banking on winning that A-10. Hopefully they can knock off St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't think that this is an at-large team in Davidson. I was more so making the point that I think that this is a team that's, you know, playing well at the right time heading into A-10 play. And like I said, man, you know, a loss to undefeated San Francisco is not a bad loss, you know, by any means. You know, they're undefeated. They haven't lost this year yet. And I think that, obviously, you need another team that's kind of competing, you know, at the top of that league. You know, you have a lot of A-10 teams take some – like we mentioned, Dayton takes to some head-scratching losses this year. You know, they win the ESPN Invitational in Florida, but they have some head-scratching losses. You know, I think that this is Davidson team that doesn't have any of those bad losses. You know, they're 7-2, like I said, only loss on New Mexico State and San Francisco. And they're going to have an exceptional chance, you know, to play a great game against North Chicago. So heading into conference play, man, this is a team that if they can stay hot and keep playing good basketball, I mean, if they can creep into, you know, the top of the A-10, you know, maybe they could beat the St. Bonnie's if they catch them on the right night, man. But I think it's just good for the A-10 to have another team, you know, playing well right now outside of St. Bonaventure.
You know, it definitely is, man. I think the A-10 is definitely, you know, for as much talk we've talked about how bad it's been, I mean, you got St. Bonaventure at 8-2, Davidson at 7-2, URI 8-3, St. Louis 8-3, and then Davidson at 7-4, and obviously with that win and the East Penn Invitational down in Florida, it looks good for them. And then VCU just got Ace Baldwin back, which is a huge development for them, because Ace Baldwin is a guy, obviously, that is, you know, one of the best guards in the A-10 when he's healthy, man. And, you know, he's somebody that is gonna help, you know, VCU kind of steady a little bit in the backcourt, man. And last night, or I don't know if it was last night, but the last game out, they beat FAU 66-46, and he was huge, man. I mean, I think the thing with him, kind of similar to Isaiah Stewart, is that he doesn't turn the ball over, man. I mean, this guy had 9 assists versus FAU and 3 turnovers, man. So we're talking about a 3-1 turnover ratio. Only had 6 points, man. But when anytime you got a guy similar to Isaiah Stewart that can control the tempo of the basketball game, man, it goes a long way, man. And that guy's a guy that's been around the program for a while. Baltimore is extremely tough, man. And obviously, they were able to beat their cross-country rivals in ODU. He had 11 points, 5 assists, and 1 turnover, man. So, you know, in 2 games, 14 assists and only 3 turnovers, man. So, 4 turnovers, excuse me, in those 2 games, man. So, huge for them, man. And I think, you know, for a guy, for a team as VCU has been ravaged by the injury, but getting him back is huge, man. So I think the A-10 is trending in the right direction, man, right now. So, you know, we'll see what happens to conference play, man. But definitely, you know, things are looking a little bit better now in the A-10 than they were a few weeks ago.
For sure, man. For sure, man. But nonetheless, man, you know, we were joined by a, you know, fellow DMV young gunner, you know, a fellow DMV hooper, man. Charlotte's own Jameer Young, you know, we're definitely pleased to have him on. He's having a exceptional year this year at Charlotte, averaging just under 20 points per game. You know, he's a Conference USA Freshman of the Year. He's also a member of that Team Takeover team that won PJ back in 2018. We're going to talk about that in the interview with Jameer, man. I had a bunch of guys who you just might recognize, man. So we're definitely excited to have him on, man. We're going to get you guys over to that interview now. All righty, guys. As we mentioned before, man, we are joined by DMV's own man and Charlotte junior guard, Jameer Young, man. So, Jameer, man, first of all, man, thank you for joining us, man. We definitely, you know, for the viewers, man, we definitely are pleased, man, to have Jameer on, man, because he's definitely one of the best mid-major players in the country, man. And obviously, he's a DMV guy, former Dematha guard, former Team Takeover guard, man. So, Jameer, man, first of all, man, for people who may not know you, man, just give us a rundown of kind of just who you are, man, kind of just and what brought you to Charlotte, and kind of just describe your game, man, for somebody who might not have ever seen you play.
First, I would just say my name is Jameer Young, PG County, born and raised, family guy, hard worker, just a guy who wants to win. And Charlotte, really, just the recruiting process, just coming down to Charlotte, it was really based on the relationship I had with the coach. Felt most comfortable with him in recruiting me. I felt like the ball would be in my hands and it'll be a good position for me to excel. So that's really why I committed to Charlotte. It's a beautiful city. The people are genuine down here. So it's been good ever since I've been down here.
Well, that's awesome, man. I mean, you mentioned kind of, you know, being able to come to the opportunity, have the ball in your hands at Charlotte, and obviously you got off to a great freshman year, man. It was, you know, the Conference USA Freshman of the Year. Last year you were first team all Conference USA guy, man. I mean, talk about kind of, you know, start that you've been able to have to your conference career, man. Did you expect yourself to kind of get off to, you know, that kind of start, man? And, you know, just, you know, what has kind of went into your development over? Obviously, first year you averaged about 12, and last year you jumped up to about 18 a game, man. I mean, and now you're obviously almost at 20, man. Talk about a little bit of your development, you know, through the years, man, and what you've been able to do your first few years there.
Coming out of high school, you know, I've always had confidence in myself. I felt like if I had the opportunity that I would excel, the math, you know, not being the go-to guy and take over, in high school, not being the go-to guy, just motivated me, just pushed me to just work hard in the summer. So coming down here, I would say my first summer here at Charlotte, before my freshman season, just focusing on, you know, just all aspects of my game, just trying to work on everything, all my skills, really. That's what I would say. Just hard work every day, really. And then my development, I felt like it just grew. My confidence grew after my freshman season, and just trying to turn this program around and really turn this into a winning program was my motivation, really.
Now, you mentioned winning programs, and, you know, obviously you mentioned a little bit coming from DeMatha, coming from Team Takeover. You kind of segued into a little bit, man, but I want to ask you, first of all, let's start with DeMatha. You know, you're on a team with Hunter Dickinson, Earl Timberlake, you know, Justin Moore, but you were – without a doubt, one of the better players, you know, on that team for sure, man. Obviously playing for Mike Jones. Talk about your time at DeMatha, how the hell prepare you for Charlotte?
Just competing with top guys like you mentioned every day in practice really prepared me. Just that the eyes on us, just the target on our back at DeMatha, just everybody watching us. That's what I would say is what really prepared me. And Mike Jones, me and him had a great relationship. Growing up, I always used to come to the DeMatha camp, so that's how we really knew each other. That's what it really was. I forget the word. Okay. My role was different at DeMatha, but I was more of a facilitator, but. As I got older and grew into my game, I felt like it changed, and that's carried over to Charlotte, really.
Yep. No, I mean, kind of piggybacking off of that kind of the talent, man. I want to talk about your time with Team Takeover, man. And for those who don't know, obviously Team Takeover is a storied AU program. You know, Victor Oladipo, you know, the Grant brother, Jeremy Grant. But your Takeover team was a team that went 16-0 in the EYBL in the regular season. Ended up losing one game, but you guys ended up winning the PJM that year. And I just want to run down the roster of that team for guys who don't know. Obviously, Jameer was on that team as well, one of the better players. I watched that PJM run. You were balling, man. But some of the other guys on that team, man, Armando Bacop, five-star recruit, North Carolina, some of you guys probably heard of him. Hunter Dickinson, another five-star guy, Michigan, some of you guys probably heard of him. Justin Moore, Villanova, Casey Morsell, who's at Virginia, now is at NC State, Ann Harris, UNC, Jeremy Roach, Duke, Terrence Williams, Michigan. You got Josh Oduro, who's doing his thing right now at George Mason. I mean, you guys had a loaded mob that year, man. Obviously, you guys ran through EYBL undefeated. Talk about, first of all, just that team, what the dynamic was that year, and then just, I guess, looking back on it now, man, like, what does it mean for you to kind of be a part of that team and just looking at what all you guys have been able to do on the college level?
Man, that's a great question. I would say, you know, that team was arguably one of the best Takeover teams in history, really. We had so much talent all around that area in the DMV. We all grew up with each other, so we all had a relationship on and off the floor. So that's what really connected us and helped us be such a great team. You know, the coaching staff would take over. They just pushed us to be our best selves, and they saw our potential. So that's what really – and we really – we won the championship by about 20-30, which was crazy. So, I mean, that run was crazy. I feel like if that team had another year, we would have won it again. But, yeah, that was a special moment for us and a special moment for me, something I'll never forget.
You might got to go holler at Jeremy Grant on them books. I know they had some crazy back in the day with Jeremy, Josh Hart.
Yeah, I heard it was crazy.
Yeah. Then even back before that, I mean, my year, you had like Phil Booth, Deion Wiley, Marcus Derrickson, Trey Campbell. Who was on that team? It's been a lot of stack takeover teams through the years, man. It's been
Palmer on that team.
Palmer on that team. Yep. It's been a lot of dogs come to takeover, man. So, but y'all definitely, hey, listen, man. Y'all were undefeated. Y'all won a chip, man. So, y'all definitely got as much to say about that as anybody else for sure. I want to ask you, man, about your time at Charlotte, man. Obviously, you know, last year you got off to a pretty good start, man. You split Western Kentucky, had beat Davidson, had beat GW, man. And then, you know, obviously last year was a COVID year, it was a rough season. You guys ended up losing your last nine games of the year. finished, you know, on a little bit of a slide, man. And then I kind of want to talk about, you know, what was that year like for you? Obviously, you individually had a great year. But then, you know, the wheels kind of fell off at the end, man. And, you know, what was kind of that like dealing with last year for you?
It was difficult. It was a new experience. You know, coming from winning programs like Take Over DeMatha, you know, you just want to come to the next level and win just as much as you won there. So just trying to put that year behind us. This was a tough COVID year. Everything was pretty much different, no fans. So we really had to generate our own energy, and I feel like we had a hard time with that last year. But that just motivated us for this year and really helped me focus up and have a chip on my shoulder for this year and not be really focused on, you know, individual awards, but really just trying to win.
Yeah, man, I got to ask you, man, because, you know, in today's day and age, especially with the transfer portal, man, a lot of guys are just up and leaving, you know what I'm saying? Especially after the year you had last year, averaging 18 points per game. I'm sure you had the opportunity to obviously go do that. They passed the rule where you don't have to sit out if it's your first time transferring. For you, what went into your decision to stay at Charlotte? Obviously, you're having an amazing year this year, so, I mean, it's definitely paying off, but I kind of always wanted to understand that decision-making process for guys, because some guys obviously choose to kind of go the high major route. Some guys like yourself choose to stay and have the ball in your hands and thrive. You know, so for you, did you know what kind of went into that decision, and did, you know, the things that ever cross your mind, and kind of like, all right, should I stay? Should I go? How do you deal with that?
It was definitely one of the toughest decisions I've had to make in my career. I would just say just the type of person I am. I've always been an underdog my whole life. So being at a mid-major and standing out, I feel like that was my lane. And I felt like just the relationship, the coaches, and the atmosphere here is something that I didn't really want to leave. And I feel like I found a home here at Charlotte. And I'm a loyal person. I'll be loyal to Charlotte. So, and I felt like we could win here. So just trying to come back and do everything that we promised to do, and just to win games. I feel like if the next level will find you, they're going to find you. If you're good enough, they're going to find you. So I feel like if I do what I have to do here, I should be fine.
Now, speaking of the transfer portal, man, you guys brought in three transfers this year. Obviously, you're the leading scorer at 19 a game, but you guys' next four scorers are all newcomers. Obviously, one is a freshman of your big fella, Ali Khalifa. But then your other three guys, Clyde Trapp, Robert Braswell, and Austin Butler, are all guys that you guys got out of the transfer portal, man. I mean, talk about those guys, the impact that they've made this year, and what they've been able to kind of bring to the table this year for you guys.
I would say Ali Khalifa, he's has so much potential. He has so much IQ. His vision is crazy. So he's so unselfish. So we give him touches, and when we give him touches, it seems like everything good happens when he touches the ball. So he's a key part of our offense. And I would say Clyde Trapp, Austin Butler, and Robert Braswell, all coming from different teams. I would just say just bring in new information, just spreading their knowledge. Older guys, but some veterans and just different skill levels. I would just say they just bring a lot of different like punches and different weapons in our offense. So that's really helping us win games, really.
Now, you mentioned obviously, you know, coming from winning programs and trying to win at Charlotte, man. And your last game out against Valparaiso, you had 26 points, man, and you really put the team on your back down the stretch. You had a go-ahead layup with 20 seconds left to give you guys the win. But you talk about just walking through that game, man, because you were on an absolute tear during that game, man. It seemed like, you know, you just had that, you know, we're not going to lose mentality, man. So just walk me through that game and kind of what was going through your mind, you know, in just during the game.
To be honest, I would say after our road loss at Arkansas, that was a hard one. That was a tough loss. I was really beating myself up about it. And I knew this game at Valpo was very important for our team, especially on the road. We was back at 500. It was 4-4. So I just really hate losing. So just me just trying to lead the team and just do anything possible to win was my mindset, and just to be aggressive. So I'm just glad we was able to come out with that W.
I want to talk about your coach. Obviously, Ron Sanchez is a guy that, you know, spent about 12 years on staff with Tony Bennett at Washington State and at University of Virginia. Man, obviously, Virginia, the team that's, you know, extremely stout defensively. They won that pack line and that Virginia little flare stagger offense. I mean, talk about your relationship with your coach, man, and what it's like kind of playing for him. Do you see any similarity between the way you got to play and the way that Virginia kind of plays? And, you know, what's it like, you know, just kind of playing for a coach like him at Charlotte?
I would say, I mean, it's great playing under him. I feel like he's a great coach. He's a great mentor. He teaches us about basketball, but he also teaches us about life in general. So I feel like it's a good just being under him and just being able to learn and pick from his mind. He's always open for questions and always open to watch film and just help us grow as people and as players. So he has the ultimate confidence in me, and that's all I can ask for. I'm just thankful to be in this position. And for the offenses, yeah, I would say we're kind of similar, especially defensively, with Virginia. And yeah, really just a defensive minded team. We're a defensive minded team, so we just like to grind out wins, and that's really, really how we play. So it's good playing under him.
Well, I can tell you one thing, man. I don't know if Virginia. I don't remember last time Virginia had a guy that was averaging 20 points per game. I know that Virginia could probably use some scoring over there this year. They're struggling to put the ball in the bucket. So there has to be some type of differences over there between y'all offense and Virginia's, because I'm sure Virginia would probably make a trade for you right now, man. But I want to talk about, man, you, you know, obviously, like I said, you're a guy that's, you know, definitely putting up points, man. Like, for you, describe your game. Like, you know, what do you kind of try to do when you're out there on the court as far as your ability to put the ball in the basket?
At my size, you know, I just try to lead. Vocally, I try to be vocal. I know I'm gifted offensively, so I just try to be aggressive, find my spots, but not force anything. And at my size, just trying to get my teammates involved. Trying to get my teammates involved and just, you know, just win games, really. Just do anything to win. That's really my game. Just a smart guy with IQ, a crafty lefty. Just trying to win, really.
Like you mentioned when you got on the interview that you were coming from practice, man, getting ready for a big game tomorrow against Wake Forest, man, a big, you know, in-state rivalry. Obviously, they're going to come on down to Charlotte and play you guys, man. What are you guys looking forward to? I think Wake Forest off to a great start this year at 10-1. What are you guys looking forward to that matchup, man? And obviously, you know, what does it mean that coach kind of emphasized that you guys are going to have to do to kind of be able to go in there and be successful tomorrow?
We know Wake Forest, they started off pretty well this season, 10-1. You know, the lights will be on. It'll be a great atmosphere, great arena. So yeah, we're excited. It should be a good one. We should compete with them. My freshman year, we played them and we won. So I know they're out, trying to get us this time. So, we just got to stick together. The game plan is just to be, connected on defense and connected on offense, just take care of the ball and, really just going out and competing and, just to have fun, really.
Now, obviously, you guys are inching closer towards conference play and Conference USA. And, you know, obviously, much has been said about, you know, the Louisiana Techs of the world and Kenneth Lofton and the job that Andy Kane has done at UAB and Western Kentucky bringing in Zion Harmon and this and that. But what do you guys think, you know, when you look at your team and you look at Conference USA, where do you think you guys fit into the fold? What do you think is kind of the ceiling for your team this year as far as when you look at your team compared to the rest of the conference?
I feel like our ceiling is limitless. I feel like the sky's the limit, really. It just depends on our approach. If we approach it just as, you know, it's us versus us and we handle our business, I feel like we're as good as any team in the conference. We don't really care where people rank us or how people predict us to have season to have. But we have the ultimate confidence in each other and ourselves, and I feel like we could get the job done. So just coming in, just being ready, just being locked in. And we're just excited to shock the conference, really.
Now, I got to ask you, man, there was also a former DMV guy, John Davis, man. He's the guy that went to Charlotte, man. And, you know, I actually had time to spend some time in Charlotte, you know, a few weeks ago, man. Or actually, during the summertime. I got a few friends that live out there, man. And, you know, I, before you get off, man, I definitely got to ask you, man, what are your favorite spots in Charlotte, man, around campus, man? Are you a lost and found guy, man? I mean, What are your favorite spots around campus, man?
That's crazy because me and Jeter are actually very cool. He was my mentor when I came to Shadow Charlotte. When I came to visit Charlotte, he was actually showing me around campus and all of that stuff. I would say during the season, I really don't go out as much. I'm not really that type of guy. But I heard about Lost and Found, Slate, Oak Room. I try to, every once in a while, peep my head in there. But that's really it, really.
We went there. We went Lost and Found. We went to Slate when I was in Charlotte. And both of them spots was cool. It's a spot called
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool, too. It's a few cool little spots out there, man.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's a nice city, for real. A lot of food spots. It's a nice city.
All right, man. Now, I have one more question for you, man. Now, I know a few football players out there, man. I actually had the opportunity to go to a sports and leadership conference out there a few years ago. And one thing that I noticed, man, about Charlotte, man, it's the home of country music, man. And a lot of guys were country music fans, man. Luke Combs, you myself, you know what I'm saying? I was going to do a little bit of country music, man. Luke Combs, Luke Bryan, a little bit, man. Do you dibble and dabble in that over there in Charlotte, man? Are you a country music guy?
Nah, man. Nah, I can't get it. Country. I can't get in the country.
Hey, you're the only one in Carolina and not listen to Luke Combs, man. That's the pride.
I've heard of him. A couple of my teammates are fans, but nah, personally, I can't get into it.
You got to tap in, man. Color, you got to tap in.
No, you don't. No, you don't. This dude's the only one that be trying to preach this country music stuff, man. So you don't worry about it, man. But now, man, I got to ask you, man, because I think that, just with the trajectory, that you're on at your career, with your career so far, Charlotte, man. And when I look at, the NBA nowadays, man, and how much the league's grown through the G League, through two-way contracts, through Exhibit 10s, I think that there's no doubt in my mind that you're a guy that can play your way into that position, whether it's getting drafted, whether it's, getting the summer league and getting the two-way. I think that you have the ability, to play your way into the league, man. And, I mean, I think that, from your time with Team Takeover, winning PJM, to the Matha, to now, doing that Charlotte, man, for you, is that a goal of yours, obviously? And how do you, obviously, with this year that you're having now, man, like, what would it mean to you to kind of put yourself in that position to play at the highest level and be next, mid-major guy to make it to the league? Everybody makes so much of the, John Morant and Steph Curry just became the all-time leader in three-point makes out of Davidson. And the list goes on and on of guys from many majors that have been able to make it to the league, man. For you to be a guy that actually has the opportunity to do that, kind of what does that mean to you?
I feel like that's the best story to have, especially coming from mid-majors and, just being the underdog and just being underestimated. But I would just say it would just be a blessing, just my faith in God, just keep putting in the work and just trusting in God's process for me, really. Yes, I would definitely, that's definitely my goal to make it to the NBA. So any opportunity that I get, I'll take the most advantage of and just keep betting on myself, really. So I'm trying to take care of business this season, then see what the future holds for me.
Yep.
Yeah. You mentioned those goals, but obviously, you got to be pretty consistent, at your time at Charlotte. You've been right around 30-35% from three, been right about 40-45% from the floor. Obviously, you were average about 18 last year, about 19 now. I mean, what is something that you want to, kind of improve on? Think you want to get better at, as you kind of, finish these out after you hear that Charlotte, man, then kind of head to the next level?
Definitely more consistent, especially, teams throwing different defenses at me, whether that's doubling or different types of ball screen action defenses. But improving my percentages all around, free throws from the three-point line, from two, my assist to turnover ratio, really just everything, because you can always get better at all aspects. But just trying to improve on everything, and I'm just trying to become more of a complete point guard.
Now, when you look at, obviously, like all your guys that you play on that Team Takeover team and the team back in the day, man. Like, do you guys ever talk to each other just about, like, looking back at that time, like, dang, man, like, you know, we was already in, you know, on the road in hotels doing all these things, and now we out here, like, you know, what's your relationship with those guys now, man? Are you guys still in contact? Like, do you guys kind of check up on each other now?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. We're all still in contact. We're all really good friends. So, you know, we're all busy during the season, but, you know, so if one of us has a good game or something, you know, guys will reach out. You know, just the relationships are just genuine. We've known each other for so long, and we all just want each other to do well. So it's just a blessing to have friends like that, really. And just come up and be on a big stage, all of us being able to be successful at the D1 level. So it's just a blessing, really.
We've not talked about all the basketball stuff, man. You got to get a funny story out of you, man, from those Peace Jam days, man. You got a funny receiver story, man, or a funny story from back on the road, man. Something that you remember to this day, man. We need one funny story.
Yeah, Mike Jones story too.
Oh yeah, we got Mike Jones story too. We're gonna see him soon.
With Takeover, I would say, you know, just traveling a lot. You know, how important, like, tournaments are and PCM is. I would say the coaches would collect our phones at night. And guys, you know, guys ain't trying to do that. So guys would have, like, at this time, it was, what, 2017? Guys would have, like, iPhone 4Ss, like, the oldest iPhones, cracked. Like, don't even turn on, trying to turn those in. And, man. Dudes were getting caught. We was that was probably the funniest one, really.
Were you one of those guys that got bagged, or was it one of your teammates?
Yeah, I got bagged, man. I got bagged.
Hey, I can't even be honest with you, man, because we did that too at Quinnipiac. Our coach
Baker
went over. So I know Justin, they be doing the same thing. We talking to Brandon Slater about this on the podcast. They do the same thing on the road, man. We had to do that for 2 years, every hotel. We had to get a burner, man. But
I had the great burner, though. I think it was about 2018, bro. I had like a six or something like that. So I was turning into, ooh, go ahead. Bro, they ain't bad for the whole year. I was lit. I was hyped. No cap.
Yeah. And the room checks be early. They be like 10 o'clock. It'd be something crazy.
It was 10 for us, too, bro. It was 10 for us, too.
You're right. He had to get that from Jay Wright, bro. Man, what was he like on them UIBA road trips, man? Was that Nike money hitting? I know it was Keith being cheap, taking you out of McDonald's, man. What was them eats like on the road?
Man, I mean, Nike, I mean, especially with Takeover, they was treating us well, just a household name. And on the EYBL circuit. So sometimes we just get, you know, shoes, a lot of gear. Eats. I don't even remember the eats for real. I just remember us as a team just going out. Nike did treat us well.
If the each wasn't memorable, man, I don't know about it, man. We got to get one funny Mike Jones story before I get you off the hook, man. We need one funny Mike Jones story from the battle so I can clown him when I see him next time.
I would say when we won my junior year, we won the WCAC championship, and he tried to walk in the locker room all calm, and then we all just started celebrating and throwing water on him. That was probably the funniest moment right there. I still got a video of it. That was fun.
That's valid, man. Well, now we won't take up too much of your time, man. You know, obviously you guys got a big time game, man. But definitely want to thank you for coming on, man. It's been a pleasure, man. Sure. We're definitely going to be rooting for you, man. Obviously, at All Facts this year, man. Always happy to see another DMV guy on the biggest stage, man, doing anything, man. And like I said before, man, I have no doubt, man, that you're going to play your way. You know, on to the highest level, man, and we'll be here watching you, man, supporting you, man. So keep doing your thing, man, and definitely again, man, thank you for your time, my guy.
No, I appreciate y'all having me. I really do appreciate it.
No problem at all, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Alrighty, guys, that was Charles Jameer Young, man. Shout out to him, man, for coming on, man. I mean, this guy's a person who you guys are going to have to circle on your radar, man, because, like I said, man, I mean, this is a guy that I think is have a chance, man, to be an NBA player one day, man. Whether he's getting drafted in the second round or making somebody's roster as a two-way, man. He's a guy that has NBA-level talent. His ability to score the ball, man, is exceptional, man. So you heard it here first, man. Jameer Young, man, definitely is a name to remember. He's going to be playing on the NBA court one day, man. You heard it here first, man. But nonetheless, Ace, man, you know, it's time for our favorite segment of the week, man. The craziest thing we saw, you know, I don't know about you, man, but, you know, for me, crazy thing that I saw this week, man, was I wish I had a shot, man. I could take a shot, man, because, you know, it pains me to talk about this, man. But our Coppin State Eagles, man, you know, played a game up in Philly about an hour away from Baltimore, man. And they left the jerseys, Ace. He left their jersey, man. So we had to play in Drexel's practice uniforms, man. I mean, as much of a head-scratching moment as there is, man, I mean, what's going on, man? What's going on, Ace?
Listen, man, I'm with you, man. We definitely might got to pull one up from my guys over at Cobham, man, because they went super viral, man. You and I were getting texts all weekend, like, oh, what's going on, man? And I was just like, man, I have no words for you. Like, I have nothing to say. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, there's a lot going on over there, man. I don't know. It was surprising, man, to see them, you know, go viral the way that they did, man. But the thing is, they had the shorts. Like, they had the shorts, but no jersey.
In the warm-ups.
I don't know how you had the shorts, but no jerseys. Like, I would probably practice in my undershirt. I know they'd be wearing them little white undershirts. They'd be all doing a little stretching with Coach Chris. I'd have played in there. I'd take a marker and do a number on the back of all them joints. And we'd have played in those before I played in some Drexel practice jerseys. There's no way I'm putting on some opposing team practice jerseys. Like, that's
crazy. It was either that or don't play.
Man,
bro. It was either that or don't play. And they already was there. So.
I mean, ref, can we please just take a Sharpie and draw numbers on the back of these? Warm ups, like, I'd rather play in these than play in these Drexel practice jerseys. Like, they got them out there looking crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm going to chalk it up to the experience. You know what I'm saying? Shout out my guy, Kevin Sweeney. He just wrote that eloquent story in Sports Illustrated about just the grind of being a MEAC program on these very rigorous, you know, road trips, you know. So I'm going to chalk it up to that, you know. Cut my team some slack, you know what I'm saying? They just got off a hell of a road trip, you know what I'm saying? You know, they're probably fatigued mentally and everything like that, man. It's a grind, man. So that's what I'm talking up to, Ace. You know, I don't know, man. I'm talking up to the grueling non-conference schedule, man. That's what I'm talking this up to.
Yeah, man. There's definitely a lot going on over there, man. So, you know, they play a lot of games. I think they might have played the most games in Division I up to this point, man. So, you know, I cut them guys some slack over there, man. Hopefully, you know, they can right their wrongs and get this back somehow, man. Somehow, some way. Ooh.
Not for sure, man. But nonetheless, man, we have some big-time mid-major games this week coming up, man. So what games do you have on your radar, Ace?
Hey, man, this weekend's going to be a good weekend for mid-major basketball, man. I think, you know, some of the big games I'm going to be focused on is Friday night, 10 p.m., you're going to see St. Mary's and San Diego State. This is our classic WCC Mountain West battle for West Coast superiority in the mid-major leagues, man. St. Mary's is obviously a team that is, you know, a top two, top three team in the WCC. San Diego State is a team that's, you know, top two, top three in the Mountain West, man. So it is probably two of the best programs on the West Coast. Outside of obviously your UCLA's and, you know, your USC's and Gonzaga's, man, you know, St. Mary's, San Diego State have been two of the most successful programs on the West Coast. That's going to be a huge game Friday night at 10 p.m. Then you're going to get San Francisco and Grand Canyon. Now, Grand Canyon is not a team that's ranked in our poll, man, but they are a very good basketball team. Obviously, the defending champions out of the WAC NCAA tournament team last year. And they're going to play San Francisco this year, who is currently undefeated right now. So I'm going to be looking at that game, man. I don't want to say it's an upset alert, but Grand Canyon right now is 9-2. They're playing some good basketball, man. Obviously, they had that rivalry game when they lost to Arizona State this week on Thursday, man. But it was a very competitive game. Grand Canyon was hanging around in that one for a while. Looked like they were going to steal a win. Their only two losses right now are to Arizona State and to Wyoming, who's also on a top 25 team in our mid-major poll. They got wins over Pepperdine, LMU. Also, obviously, they'd be North Florida, Grambling, Prairie View. So they're not a bad team, man. So I'm looking at that game. Sneaky good game Sneaky good game right there, man. It's going to be in Phoenix. So, obviously, we know Grant Cain is known for their student section and their antics on campus, man. So, the footprint center is going to be rocking when the undefeated San Francisco goes there on Saturday, man. So, definitely going to be, you know, keep my eye on that game. Also, Chattanooga is going to play Murray State. They just played Belmont, you know, arguably, you know, one of the best teams in the definitely one of the best teams, arguably the best team in the Ohio Valley. They're going to get the other, you know, arguably the best team in the Ohio Valley in Murray State Saturday at 8 p.m. That is going to be a great ball game. Obviously, Chattanooga and Belmont was an outstanding ball game, man. You're going to be in for another treat with Chattanooga and Murray State. Must definitely make sure you got your camera, your TVs queued up for that. Also, BYU is going to go to Weber State, man, Saturday at 8 p.m. So you're going to have a jam-packed Saturday at 8 p.m. Hopefully you got multiple screens in your household, man, because BYU is going to go to Weber State, man, which is going to be a huge game for the state of Utah, man. Both of those guys are, you know, in-state rivals. Weber has started undefeated. They lost their last two games, obviously, after losing to Washington State. They're losing to a very good Utah State team at home. So they're going to have another opportunity to pick up a big win and kind of prove how good they are versus BYU, man. So definitely going to be a huge game for the state of Utah, man, and definitely a big opportunity for Weber State, man. And then we're going to get Norfolk State and Loyola Chicago Sunday at 2 p.m. Obviously, Norfolk State is the defending MEAC champions, probably the favorite in the MEAC this year. Coach Rob Jones has that team rolling this year. They're going to go out to Chicago Gentile Arena and try to do what me and you did, Drew, and that is get a win over Loyola Chicago in Gentile Arena, man. I don't know. I think we might be the only MEAC team to pull that off, man. So they got to give us our flowers for that, man. But Norfolk is going to try to go in and repeat what we did, man. Sunday at 2 p.m. As they travel to Chicago, man. It's gonna be a pretty good game, man. Two great coaches, and Drew Valentine and Rob Jones, man. So those are a few games I'm be looking forward to this weekend.
Hey, man. Emphasis on the give us our flowers, man, for that Lewis Chicago win, man. Straight up, man. But another game I have my radar, man, is gonna be St. Bonaventure versus Virginia Tech. St. Bonaventure is playing Virginia Tech on Friday. I think this is a game that supposedly Kyle Upton is supposed to be making his return. Obviously, he's been out the last two games for St. Bonaventure. They just lost to UConn. So obviously, if they are able to get Kyle Upton back in the lineup, I think that this is a game that is obviously very winnable for St. Bonaventure. I think they, you know, it will obviously help them a lot to get another big time win over ACC program. So you know, we'll see if he does come back, but I think that obviously the game I'm going to be looking forward to out of the ones you mentioned is that St. Mary's versus San Diego State. I think that's going to be a big time matchup, obviously on the West Coast, man. If I had to make a prediction on that one, I think I'm going to go St. Mary's, man. I think I'm going to go St. Mary's in that one, but I don't know, Ace, what you think?
I do like St. Mary's, man. I do like St. Mary's, but let me look and see where this game is being played, because that's going to be key, man, because I think if that game is going to be played in San Diego State, I think I might lean San Diego State with that one, man. I'm trying to see where is that's a Friday night game. Let's see. This game, the Jerry Colangelo Classic, man. Shout out to the legend Jerry Colangelo, man. It's going to be in Phoenix, so it's a neutral site game between St. Mary's and San Diego State. I think I'm gonna go with St. Mary's, man. I think Randy Bennett has his team playing well at the right time, man. Obviously, they, you know, got a big win of Utah State earlier this year, who I think might be a tad bit better at this point in the season in San Diego State. Obviously, both of those guys are, you know, toward the top of the Mountain West, man. But I think I'm gonna go St. Mary's, man, to get a program defining win. But for San Diego State, this is a team that is in need of a big win, man. So, you know, obviously they lost to Michigan early in the year. They're in need. They also lost to USC, pretty good team. Also lost to BYU. So they don't have any bad losses, man. But, you know, if they can get a statement win over St. Mary's, then that would be huge for them, man. So definitely going to be looking forward to that matchup. I think I would lead St. Mary's, though.
Look at you, man, agreeing with Big Bro, man. You know, I won't say I'm surprised. You know, I won't say I'm surprised, you know, but, you know, definitely a smart move on your part, you know, agreeing with the smarter of you know, the two of us here.
And you got too much dip on your chip, big fella. I'm not even gonna debate you on that one. I think we all know that I'm the brains of All Facts Media. You know, I think, you know, the proof's in the pudding, you know. You know, it's the reason why I was born first. You know, you're my little bro. You know, I taught you everything you know, and you look up to me. And I'm proud to have a younger brother that looks up to me the way that I do, man. Because I'm the big brother, I'm not going to even give you a chance to respond to that message, because we're going to wrap this show up here. We're going to go ahead and get out of here, man. You know, this has been another episode of The Auto Bid. We want to thank you guys for tuning in, as always, man. I want to remind you guys to make sure you guys are liking our content, subscribing, retweeting, sharing, man, on social media. Give us a rating on Spotify, on Apple Music, maybe listen to this podcast, man. It goes a long way. And tell a friend and tell a friend about The Auto Bid, man. And as always, make sure you gotta tap into my guy Pull Up Tay's music. His new project Why Stop Now is out on all platforms. Make sure you gotta stream in that, man. And it's gonna be him on the outro. Until next time, folks. I'm Jordan the clutch, boy. You beating on me, I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You want a sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me, I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take your last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy.